086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. Give us a call too if you prefer on 074 91 25,000. Right, I'm joined on the programme now by Barry Quinn from the Port New Market Garden. Barry, thanks for your time. Good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Barry, and it's part of a fundraiser which has really taken off, and it's to help those in need. Talk to me about, you know, what really sparked this into life.
So, yeah, last week, on the run-up to Christmas, my head was in a place where I wanted to give back to my community, because I have a substantial social media following, and I thought, how can I utilise that following to try and do some good in my community? And I went back and forth with my brother, Dan, to help pensioners in that inner area to heat their homes over the Christmas period. I decided then it would be very difficult to reach out to those people. So yesterday I went into the Downstrands Family Resource Centre. I spoke with the staff down there, and my eyes were open to what's really going on in our local communities. It's not just here, it's all around Ireland. There's people really, really struggling. And I says, right, that's it. I'm going to set up this GoFundMe, and we're going to just, you know, we hope for the best. I thought maybe 2,000, 3,000 euros would make a great impact on people's lives that need it in the area. And it's absolutely snowballed into something that is really incredible. And I'm so thankful to everybody who's donated and got involved.
There is a serious, serious problem in this country, and one I try and highlight at any given opportunity, of hidden poverty in our communities, people struggling. You know, we know the figures. There's 250,000 children in poverty. There's the working poor, there's the unemployed poor, you know, and we're seeing record calls to the likes of St. Vincent de Paul. And this as, I'm sorry to make this a comment again, this as we're called a rich country. There's something going on. What you're doing is fantastic, Barry, but some of this wealth or care has to trickle down and start reaching these people that need it so, so badly.
Yeah, as you say, we're considered a first world country, but the truth is that when the cost of living is so high, and, you know, it's so, so easy for someone just to get behind, and then you can never get ahead when you're under that much pressure. It's so sad that it's come to this situation, but, you know, the likes of these family resource centres now are, you know, the first line of defence to helping these people. And I think it's great to highlight it the way we have. You know, these family resource centres are dotted throughout the country, and the people that are in need really need to utilise the help that they have there.
Yeah, you're working with the Downstrands Local Family Resource Centre. It covers Glenties, Ardra, Portnew and surrounds, right? How will this generosity of the public reach those that need it most? Because there is and I think you maybe touched on this a little, but there is a logistics there, you know, of getting the resources to those that need the most in a timely fashion.
Yeah, so we are under pressure with the time, because the resource centre actually closes for a bit of the Christmas period. And for anyone listening in the area, that, you know, if you're someone that needs help, you should really get in contact before the 17th of December so that you can get that help that's there. So the way we're going to do it now, we're going to be working directly with the guys in the resource centre. They are going to reach out to local businesses that can give us vouchers for their services, whether it's a local oil, heating oil company, someone who supplies coal, or food vouchers from local shops. And so it's really important for, I know it's so sensitive and delicate subject, and people are so proud and embarrassed by getting into some situations, but the guys in the resource centre are sitting by the phone right now, and I have a phone number here I'm going to give you, Greg. They're waiting by that phone for people to call, and they will help straight away. I'll just call out the number now. It's 087 385 1426. And as I say, pick up the phone. The help is there now. And don't suffer through Christmas, you know, in a cold home or deciding, can I go to the shop to buy this or that? Please take the help.
Yes, and it is about community. And we are fantastic as a community. And this is just about the community extending the hand of help. All you have to do is reach out and take it, right?
Yeah.
The people who might need it, because life can change blooming quick, it comes at you quick, may have been able to donate last year. They may end up donating next year if it were to exist, right? So this is about people in a position in the here and now. And your community, thanks to the efforts of Barry and the Downstrands Resource Centre and the generosity of the greater public, they've donated because they want to reach you. 087-385-1426. So you heard from Barry there. There is resources there now to keep the heating on, to keep the lights on over Christmas. And you ring that number, outline your scenario, where you're from, Barry. And, you know, I know this fundraiser has exceeded expectations, but sure, look at now that you're here, there's no upper limit to it as well. So if people want to, and they've heard how you're going to get these supports to people, it's very clear. So how do they go about then donating if they still wish to add to this fund?
So there's the GoFundMe is going to be kept open right up to Christmas. And if you go on to Port New Market Garden, my social media pages on Facebook or on Instagram, there's a link in my bio there. Click on it and it'll take you straight through the GoFundMe page. And we're going to keep it open because although it's a substantial amount, well, we have €29,000 amazingly already raised and it's still ticking over. And a really positive part of this is that not only are we going to help people now on the run-up to Christmas, that fund will be there in January and February where times can be really bleak because people overstretch themselves to have that Christmas for themselves and their families. And so that fund is there now to take the pressure off. You know, they know going into January that they can get that help if needed as well, you know. So I must say before that this phone number is a confidential phone line. You're just going to leave your basic details with the person. I will never know myself who's dealing with this. This is a family resource centre who have done this time and time again to help people. So I'm just joining the dots here to try and help people out. And my local community here have come out in force to help their friends, their families, their neighbours. And my greater online community has shown us that you don't need to know someone to help them. You know, it's about making a difference in someone's life that you don't even know. And that's, I think, what life's really all about. It's a special thing. So to everyone again, once again, who's donated, you've done a brilliant thing. So fair play to you.
And just because the question's coming in, Barry, and I'm not sure it's because of someone in need. It's more just a question. These funds have been raised through the Downstrands Local Family Resource Centre. Are they to target the issues in the Glenties, Ardrahl, Portnew and surrounding areas quite specifically?
So that this is, we're working directly with the fact, I mean, this just snowballed. As I said, Greg, I went into the Downstrands Family Resource Centre, which is the Glenties, Ardrahl, Portnew catchment area. They work with the families and the people in need in that area. I understand that this is a far greater issue throughout Ireland. But right now, this is what we've done. I've reacted to the news that I got yesterday, and this is where we've come at. Now, I'm going into the resource centre on Friday. We're going to start going through the local businesses that we're going to deal with to get these vouchers to help people, and we're going to get the ball rolling on it.
Because this is money that has to stretch, and businesses have to do their thing as well, but hopefully they've been nice and busy as well. It would be great if some of these companies maybe gave you a discount specific to these vouchers, because they know specifically that this is home heating, or using that as an example, that's going very specifically to families that are very much in need. There are other services out there in other areas as well, right? But there's a lot of deprivation in the areas that we're talking about as well. Well done to you, Barry. Well done to every single person that's put their hands in the pockets. And, you know, it's immeasurable what the difference this is going to make to people just to take the foot off the neck for Christmas because that's how it can feel like when you've got nothing or when resources are very low. Thanks so much for joining us. The GoFundMe is the go to the Port New Market Garden page. Is that the all right?
The link is in the bio.
All right. Listen, well done. Thank you very much indeed. I really appreciate your time this morning. So if you are in the Glenties Ardra Port New catchment area, do not suffer alone. Your community has come together to give you a hand that you can extend when you get onto your feet. 087-385-1426. That is the number for the Downstrands Resource Centre covering that catchment area. And they're going to be able to help out an awful lot of people. It's at 29,000 now. Hopefully it goes up even more so. And then we have our latest addition to the superstar lineup here in County Donegal. It's Amy Rose Carey. Hi, Amy Rose.
Hi.
How are you getting on?
Good.
You might have seen Amy Rose. She's from Farn, of course, and performed on the Late Late Toy Show. 13 years old and already national TV. Not too bad. What was it like?
Oh, it was class. It was like really, really, really good.
How did it come about? Talk to me about it.
So basically, my mommy said that the toy show were taking applications. Uh-huh. So she sent in two, I think. And then we got a call about 2 weeks later saying that we can go in for auditions. So we did the auditions in the RTE studio and waited until maybe, I think it was the end of October. They gave us another phone call and they told me that I was going to be on the show.
Which is fantastic. Now, you've done stuff before, right? You're in the Junior Eurovision, so you kind of have a sense of what goes on behind the scenes and what to expect. But this is on a different scale. Or did you take it all in your stride and was cool as a cucumber, as they say?
No, I didn't. I wasn't that nervous or anything. So,
well, that's good. That means you can fully enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right. So what was the, did you do it live on the night?
Yeah, it was live.
All right. And what time were you on at? Because people, I watched it on repeat.
I was on, I think it was 10:30 I was
so
on.
I'm like, if it were me, I'm there since what, 8 or 7:30 or something like, and I'm going like, I need to get this over and done with here, but you're just vibing it. You're just waiting for your moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, So it was an amazing experience actually performing. Did you really enjoy the performance side of it as well?
Oh, it was so good. I loved it.
Mm. And did you have headphones or monitors or?
No, we had just, all we had was a mic around like our ears to hear us singing.
Yeah.
But there was no headphones or anything.
Yeah, okay, cool. Right, now we had a great Donegal representation up there because Ollie from Lahey, Ollie Glendinning or Glendinning was up there, and Anne Boyce too from Downings. She was Anna Boyce. She spoke Irish, I believe, which was I saw the clip of her, and it was absolutely amazing. So where does this rank then? Because you know you've done an awful lot. As I say, you know you got to the final dozen on TG Cahir in the Eurovision. I presume you must perform in your school.
Well, actually, we just finished Annie the musical.
Yeah.
Last month, I was started being it.
Okay, where did you get your talent from? Now remember, there's someone looking in the window at you, even though you're not looking at her.
Well.
This should be easy. So, in other words, you're the first generation. Everyone before you's talentless, and you've just started it. Yeah.
Basically, well, my granny sings.
Okay, well, hey, we'll give granny the credit, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic stuff. And were you always a little performer? Do you know, as a toddler, were you dancing around the place and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I've always been doing like shows since primary school.
Brilliant. And do you have ambitions in the arts or just taking the opportunities that come?
Just taking the opportunities.
Yeah. 13, so what class are you in secondary school then?
Second year.
Right, okay. So you've a bit of time. Right, are you going to sing for us?
Yeah.
What is it?
Killer.
Okay. Right, so I'm going to play this. You can indicate up or down in terms of volume and stuff, right? But here we go. This is Amy Rose Carey singing live for us.
Killer.
for the river to soar. From the arms of my mother to the land of her pure, all I have to remember is the pride that I felt. From the park in Canada, where the boys never end out, they go raring and tearing and fighting for love, for the land they call Killa and the Lord up above. Killa la 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 la, for the green and the white I adore, for the Irish the last ever born. 95 camp promotion, I up on the wing, no one up to senior. What a beautiful thing in the darkest of hours, in the depths of despair. Let the Killa boys roar, fire to rattle the air. They go raring and tearing and fighting for love, for the land they call Killa and the Lord up above. Killa la 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 la, for the Irish to last evermore. Killa la 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 la, for the green and the white I adore, for the Irish to last evermore. Time's at an ending when my days are no more. Bury me with my hurley by the river Desor.
Well done. I'm the only one here because you chased your mother out to give you a clap. Well done, Amy. That was fantastic. Amy Rose, it's a double barrel, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Amy Rose. I didn't mention a very important person from Drumkeen that was up at the Late Late Toy Show as well, and that was TJ McDade. So we were so lucky to have such broad representation. If you can continue in music and you start to do it professionally, Amy Rose, I don't think you'd work well in a band. I think you're more of a solo artist. What do you think?
I don't really know.
I just think you'd want full artistic control, no? Maybe not. Okay. Listen, thanks so much for calling down to us, taking out school. So are you living in Inchone at the moment? So you're originally from Fawn, but up in Inchone?
No, I'm from Fawn, but we just like moved to a different part of Fawn.
Okay.
So...
Right, of course. Okay, I've mixed my places up. I get you. Listen, thanks so much for calling down. Really appreciate it. Do you want to say hello to anyone?
My granny. Granny Tishy.
Is this the one with the talent? Or the other granny? I mean, the singing. I'm not trying to get you into trouble, but you're not helping me here. All right, brilliant stuff. Amy Rose, thanks so much for calling down. Really appreciate it. Well done. We look forward to seeing where things go for you, because you've a real interest in it, because you're studying music too, aren't you, in Derry?
Yeah.
Are you doing that alongside your schooling in the Republic?
Yeah.
Okay, well done. All right, the world's your oyster. I think you're going to be able to do whatever you want. Thank you so very much for joining us, and hopefully this is up there. This experience been up there with the Little Toy Show. All right, thanks so much indeed. We'll be back with more after a quick break. Right, now, of course, because of Breezy Bram, although we didn't know that at the time, we were going by what Materan were telling us, we had to defer Highland Radio's big Christmas concert in the Mount Errigal from last night to tonight. And it is a fantastic lineup. Hugo Duncan's going to be there. Derek Ryan's going to be there. David James, Keith and Lorraine, Jerry Guthrie, and a guest who I'm about to introduce to you. But just to let you know that thankfully the overwhelming majority of you are able to come tonight that were due to be there last night. And there are still a short number of tickets available for you. The price at €30 each and will be available at the door. The doors open at 7. The show starts at 8 p.m. And amongst those performing tonight will be... one of the biggest names in the scene in this country and beyond, Michael English. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Greg. Great to talk to you.
How are you getting on? Great to see you.
I'm very, very good. Yeah, we survived last night. It was a bit breezy down here as well, but it's very calm today, so not too bad.
But it's worked kind of very much in everyone's favour, especially your fans, because you're able to make the concert tonight, which is fantastic that you had a night free so close to Christmas.
Yeah, I am. I'm delighted to be there. All my friends will be there in the business. I'm looking forward to meeting them, looking forward to meeting all of the people. I'm going to be on, just if I can say, I'm going to be on early because I am in Harvey's Point tonight as well. So that's a bit later on, just in case there are people going there. I don't want them to think that I won't be there. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be it's always a fantastic night. It really is, always. And as I said, it gives us a chance to meet everybody around this time of year. You know, Christmas is my favourite time of year, and I love the Highland Radio concerts. They're always fantastic.
Yeah, you obviously, given it, you're all on stage, but just running high fives when you finished, is that it?
Well, we're all together in the back waiting to go on as well, so yeah, we have a great old chat.
Yeah, myself and the better half were down in Harvey's a couple of weeks ago and saw you there for their sort of summer cabarets, the Christmas cabaret you're doing for them tonight, I presume, which is always a great night. We were supposed to go, ironically, we were supposed to be there tonight, but had to defer it to next week for one reason or another. What's it like this time of year performing? Because you get to sort of, you know, you've got the songs that people love to hear from you. Do you throw a bit of Christmas into the performance, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, I love this time of year for various reasons. And music is one of those, of course. I love everything about the Christmas music. So, yeah, we do all of the songs that people will know us for. Of course, we do lots of, in the dances, lots of party Christmas songs. And then I obviously play in theatres as well, and I play in churches now as well. So a lot of churches this time of year, they're a really special night as well, you know, getting to sing all of the Christmas carols and that kind of thing. So, yeah, a varied mix.
It's an obvious question. Is it a bit of a myth in terms of the church acoustics, or do they really add to a performance, Michael?
They do. I mean, you know, the church in every way adds to the performance. You know, it's a great privilege for us to perform on any altar in the sanctuary, in the church. And our show in the church is completely different. I mean, we don't do one song from the dances, obviously, in the church concerts. It's a completely different setup. But the acoustics, yeah, they certainly do. The nice soft acoustics, nice soft music. And then the candles and the general atmosphere creates a very special night, not just for us, for the local people as well, because, you know, we perform in about 25 churches now leading up to Christmas and various different parishes and towns. And it's a great night for the community as well. So, yeah, it's something we look forward to every year.
And professionally, you get to change gears a bit as well. I know you love touring and doing your stuff, but it must be nice to sort of be able to switch it up a little bit and get into that different type of a space and a different sort of interaction with your audience.
It does. And, you know, I'm very lucky, like everybody else in the business, that people come to see us very regularly and travel a lot and come night after night. So it's good for them as well that we have different shows. And, you know, the church show, as I said, is completely different from the dance show. So it's a variety for them. And then for us as well, as singers and musicians, it's great to have the variety and not be doing the same every night, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Right, tonight is a fantastic lineup. You know, I mean, you know all these guys intimately. It's a big but also sort of small professional community, and it is a fantastic lineup for the show tonight, Michael.
It is. And as I said at the start, I love these type of nights because we can all meet up, and especially this time of year. And Highland Radio, in fairness, you know, they always have a huge lineup. They pull out all the stops for their Christmas concert. And I'm delighted to be part of it. Really am. I'm looking forward to it now.
All right. Safe journey up, Michael.
Thank you, Greg.
Not a bad dull Wednesday night. Two gigs in the one night, huh?
and both in the greatest county of them all.
That's it, mate. Listen, thanks very much. As I say, safe journey. We always love seeing you up here. You're a regular visitor, and thank you so much for being part of our special show tonight. Look after yourself.
Thank you. See you later.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. That is Michael English there. He's just one of the fabulous artists that are on the Highland Radio Christmas concert tonight. Also on the bill, Hugo Duncan, David James, Derek Ryan, Keith and Lorraine, Jerry Guthrie. There are your tickets, obviously, for last night are valid for tonight. I presume at this point, if you had an overnight package with the hotel, you've given them a ring just to double check everything's in order, which it will be, but just to make sure that everything is in order, but I'm sure it is. And also, too, there are some walk-up tickets available. Doors open at 7, the show starts at 8 p.m, and Michael English is going to be one of the first acts up. So don't be late. You're never late anyway. It's one of those shows that people are there earlier rather than late. Show starts at 8 p.m. Right, let's get to some of your comments as we await our next guest joining us. Amy was absolutely fantastic. I met her in the Clannery on Sunday and And what a lovely wee girl. She really is. And do you know what's really nice about her? There is a confidence, but no arrogance. The absolute perfect balance for a young person, I think, that she's confident in her skills and her abilities and what have you. But is in no way ahead of herself either, which I think is lovely. Caroline, can you just double check this number, one of you, please? I'm just not 100% sure on it there. Re-homelessness. There is so much homelessness and poverty in Ireland, yet the Irish government can give away 100 million to a corrupt regime in Ukraine, as they say. It was 125 million. But look, as I've said before, we took in 10 billion in a month in corporation tax. The 100 million is literally small change in the whole context. Helping out Ukrainian people, which I'm sure you don't believe is the right thing to do because you described them as corrupt, the regime that is. You might not agree that's the right thing to do, but you must agree that there could be space in that 10 billion euro of corporation tax taken in November to help people have homes. I think we can possibly agree on that, can we? Greg, a massive thank you for the compliment you gave to Buncrana Town yesterday. I felt great pride when you mentioned how well the town looked, and special thanks to the Tidy Towns Committee. You make it possible. And it was meant, it was completely off the cuff and meant in absolute earnest. We were up in, just to recap, we were up in doing a programme in Dunfanaghy, wasn't it? And on the way back, the sat-nav said, right, Grant, Buncrana, and I said, I insisted to Caroline and Shannon, I says, no, we're going through it. And I was, as I say, I'm not unfamiliar with Buncrana, but I was just astonished that from the top of the town to the bottom of the town, I'm not sure if locals describe it as that, just vibrance, colour, great mixture of different types of shops, food businesses, pubs. Door to door, it seemed to be all open, you know, very little dereliction. I didn't spot any. An action from the top of the town to the bottom, coupled with the Christmas lights. Wonderful, wonderful. And a real jewel in the crown. It's really important sometimes, even if you're familiar with a place, it's really important sometimes to actually go there. Because then you get the true sense of, you get a true sense of what it's like. That's no good that it's not coming up in the programme, so maybe they don't have that programme. Right, OK, moving on here now, and on the issue of cancer and the cancer survival rates through lockdown. Are there figures for the numbers presented with cancer within a few months of getting the COVID vaccine? As I know several people this happened to who were fit as fiddles before getting the vaccine, or is this a coincidence? I can't judge it, but look, people get conditions. People have strokes, people have cancer, people have aneurysms, all of the time, very, very sadly. If you had a COVID vaccine beforehand or if you didn't, we're always trying to make some sort of a correlation to try and make things make sense. There hasn't been a peak as of yet. So just check here. Look over my shoulder, Caroline, and see, am I going mad or something there? Because that number is not working.
No, I just
Wee Christmas with your in-laws. This is the woke world we're living in, says the listener. The parents are a burden. These are the children's grandparents. They might criticise their grandmother, but it comes from a good place. What's happening in this woke world that parents who brought you into this world are a burden? So many people would give anything to have their parents with them this Christmas. I know, and I would as well. Right, but I have to separate the fact that I've lost my parents and would love them back versus when I had them and if they tried to stay with me for 3 weeks. I can make that separation. the emotions are different once you've passed them and you'd give anything for a moment with them. But when you have them, 3 weeks is too long at Christmas. Dolores says, "Hi, Greg, that woman's husband needs to grow a set. Tell his parents what his wife is about or on about, and I, 2 days are more than enough stay." Indeed. Okay. Thank you for that. There's a small black and brown dog wandering near Dromahol. It looks lost and afraid. So if you're missing a small black and brown dog in or around the Dromahol area, I don't know if we've a contact. We're just sort of letting you know it's there at the moment. Right, now we can go to Mark McCollum, who is a sea swimmer and joins me on the show now. Good morning, Mark. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg. Lovely to be here. Yes, and I'm hoping everyone survived the storm yesterday. Yeah, and
we
did.
Say,
yeah. I'm a sea swimmer.
Now, we should be grateful, of course, that we escaped the worst of it. That being said, we weren't out at sea. There was an orange weather warning. There was a red marine warning. I presume you wouldn't have risked going into the sea, would you?
I absolutely not, Greg. I love sea swimming. It's been a huge part of my life. I've been doing it for over 30 years. And I'm in and out of the water all seasons, all through the winter, all through the summer. But loving the sea means respecting it. And in the storm conditions, especially like what we had predicted yesterday with the orange and red warning in place, that respect basically means staying out. The sea you swim in a calm morning in Rathmullen or in Dunfanaghy or wherever is very different to the same place when you're facing during a storm. It becomes unpredictable, unstable, and just downright dangerous.
But you're saying, some people ignored that?
Yeah, I saw some footage online. I saw some people actually from, not from Donegal. I don't think it was Donegal, but I saw some footage of people actually going in yesterday. And it's just, your heart sinks when I say that, because in those moments, going in isn't brave or resilient. It's just an unnecessary risk. You're putting yourself and others at danger,
Yeah.
No matter how good a swimmer you think you are, one of the common lines that I hear, is that, it's people who, train hard, and especially for extreme swimmers and adventure athletes. And look, I respect people who train hard and push their limits. Back in my day, I used to do that too, but the truth is, training for challenging conditions is not the same as choosing to swim in unsafe conditions.
And as well as that too, I mean, obviously, if you were looking out at sea, if I was looking out at sea and saw anyone in the sea, I'd think they're on a red warning. I'd think they're crazy. But what could also happen is they could get into trouble, or someone could accidentally think they were in trouble, because who in God's name would do it? Next thing you know, our volunteer Fourth Emergency Service have to launch and take a vessel out in terrible, dangerous water. You're putting their resources and their lives at risk, Mark.
That's the other piece of the puzzle that people have to forget. If you judge it, if people go in and these think it's just, for whatever buzz or for whatever what they want to, whatever their clicks and likes on social media, it's the rescue teams, as you say, that have to go in after them. And these are volunteers with families who have to head out into these massive swells and freezing sprays and debris because somebody felt that they could take on a storm. And that's just simply not fair on them. And it's not part of any training or anybody's personal development journey for likes or follows. It's not worth it. No matter how elite you think you are, lifeguards, surf swimmers, professionals, they all have boundaries. They don't chuck themselves, hurl themselves into the storm waters. Mm. When they train, they have spotters and safety craft and radios, and it's control scenarios, and there's planning for backup. So when someone heads off alone into a storm like they did yesterday, even if they're the most fit and experienced, three things happen, in my opinion. They assume experience equals invincibility. It simply doesn't. No swimmer can outpower a rip current or control where the storm surge is going to throw them. And as you say, they remove the safety net. There's no support team. There's no exit strategy if something suddenly shifts and goes wrong, which it can happen really quickly. And crucially, as you said there yourself, Greg, if something goes wrong, it's the Coast Guard and the RNLI who have to go in and put themselves in harm's way in the same dangerous conditions to get them out.
See, even in calm conditions, if you have a boat, right, most people would have a take-me-home engine because you don't know the engine could go kaput on you, right?
Like, things can go wrong, yeah.
Exactly. This isn't factoring in pulling a hammy or something, or dislocating a shoulder, or no matter how confident you are at swimming, there are variables that could happen and do happen whereby you actually couldn't get back to shore if you wanted to, like a dislocated shoulder or something.
Absolutely. Things, you know, these arguments of experience or athleticism cancels out danger. Simply, they don't hold. Like, nature of the storm doesn't care how strong you say your shoulders are, or how weak they are, or how good a swimmer you are or not. And I'm not discouraging people from swimming. I really would be an advocate for the power of swimming. And I swim every Saturday, and we go in all year round, but we do it as a group and we do it safely. And, you know, it's wonderful for mental health, toughness and resilience. But if your real mental health resilience also includes good judgment, and if your measure of toughness is walking into a storm because it looks dramatic on social media, or you feel it's like a test, you're not building resilience. You're just rolling a dice.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you want to challenge yourself, go into the cold water on a safe day. Like, we go in every Saturday at 2 o'clock. We meet up. We have it's a social thing. We look at the conditions and we make a plan. You know, I'm part of the Garton Open Water Swimmers, and we have the Rathmullen Casual Dippers, and there's groups all over, you know, Donegal, who are doing it, but they do it safely.
Yeah.
You can build up your endurance and your condition where you can push your limits without crossing into outright danger, like we see with people yesterday.
But also, too, it's like people that speed, Mark. You're not rolling the dice for yourself. You're actually rolling the dice for other people. And,
yeah,
and that we've touched on that because of the emergency services, etc. But it's not it's just me, I can do whatever I want, it's my risk. No, because your risk could have implications for other people. So then it becomes a shared risk.
Absolutely. It's the volunteers, you know, the RNLI do tremendous work, and the Coast Guard, and they're the people that are going to have to go in, as I say, put themselves in harm's way to try and just because someone felt that they felt that they could take on a storm, or this would look good on their social media, you know.
All right, Mark.
Admire the storm from the shore.
No,
you know, feel
no,
the power.
I'm going to admire the storm from my couch. but I take your broader point.
That's okay.
All right, Mark. Listen, God bless you. I think you're mad,
no bother,
by the way.
It's always a pleasure.
I think you're mad.
Okay.
I think you can socialise and meet friends in different places other than the freezing cold sea.
I would seriously encourage you to try it, though, Greg.
Do you know what?
Tongue
in cheek, right? I'm actually really envious. I'm actually really envious because I think it would be great. And I think I might come to a period in my life where I might give it a go. So jokes aside, I can see me part of that crew at some point down the line, because it sounds just like...
Well, you're more than... It's counterintuitive, but it's the most relaxing thing. The Garton Open Water Swimmers done seven... We've done eight swims on one day last Saturday. We had on eight dips and swims on different locations.
All right, the line has gone on us. Listen, Mark McCallum, thank you very much indeed. The line dropped out there. Re-social media recorder says, on teens won't use VPNs. You are aware that just a search on the App Store and the Google allows you to pay for subscriptions via your phone credit, like the argument that VPNs are too techy or expensive for teens to have completely falls apart under these two conditions. No, I'm actually incredibly familiar with VPNs. It's about how many of them. I said the majority won't. And also, too, you see, you didn't listen to the rest of the argument where I was talking about how VPNs changing your algorithms, right? So your hotspot showing your location is somewhere different if you're on your Snap Maps, for an example. It's an extra layer of complication that not every team will bother with. And I'm on about under-16s here. Under-16s having a credit card associated with their Google account. Well, you're not going to tell them not to use social media, are they? Because you're already giving them quite a bit of latitude there. But the caller goes on to say, this is why the government should be regulating algorithms and corporations, not the people. The people should be parenting their children properly. Okay. But the reason why that doesn't happen. When children were taken out of schools during that very dark COVID time, incorrectly, they never should have. When they were taken out of school, the impact it had on children, because not every child has parents that will always do the right thing. And it can be for a number of reasons. There's no rule book, you know, there's no driving license for being a parent. Not that they're irresponsible either, right? But not every parent can do exactly what you're saying they should do. And It takes a community to rear a child. It takes a country to rear a child. And in some cases, we do have to have some rules to support those parents. Good morning, Greg. I was listening to Padraig McLaughlin chatting about the British government. People seem to have forgotten about the B specials that operated in the north during the Troubles. On the storm, unnecessary closure of schools yesterday because of a breeze. There's a stronger wind today. But you see, those principals were having to make a shout in association with the bus companies based on what they were being told by Metairn, which is that there was an orange weather warning. Some other forecasters were saying it could go red. Then it didn't turn up. So, unfortunately, they didn't have hindsight. A caller says, you have to have the money to pay the builders. This is re-derelict buildings. You have to have the money to pay the builders before you can get the derelict buildings grant. Few people can borrow 70k or 100k. Couldn't the council lend people the money to buy and renovate these properties? That is a problem, and that's what I said in passing. They need to do stage payments because that would really get a lot of these properties into working use. Also, there are some lending institutions that will lend specifically for this purpose. So it's not a mortgage as such. There are some that will do deals on it. But your point, of course, is a valid one. It's what that scheme needs. It needs the cap increased and it needs stage payments, in my opinion. You might remember we spoke to Rosie yesterday from Pure Boutique. They had problems with their broadband. Rosie, for how long was your broadband down?
Hi, Greg, for 3 whole weeks.
3 blooming weeks. What? Okay.
Absolutely.
And all jokes aside, this has an impact because it affected you during Black Friday and, of course, coming into Christmas as well. There were concerns. But there is some good news, is there?
There's great news, Greg. Due to me coming onto your show yesterday, AIR have actually sorted us out with our Wi-Fi and our telephone lines. We've been working off our hotspots, as I told you, for 3 weeks, and we lost lots of sales. So needless to say, your show was the one that's that actually got it switched back on. It goes to show you, Greg, as well, that obviously it was only a simple enough job to get put back on if they were able to do that quick.
All right, now, that's brilliant news. Pure Boutique was open for business, but now all the machines and tills and phones are all working and staff can have their own phones back.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Okay. It was actually carnage, honest goodness. But anyway, thanks to your show. And I was going to say as well, Vodafone contacted me yesterday as well. The lead guy, he's from Ballyshannon, and he said that he's going to help us out because I think we're probably going to have to change from AIR anyway.
And how did he know about it? How did he contact you?
The radio. He heard me on the radio. So it goes to show you the power of Highland Radio.
A whole lot of Rosie. Thanks very much. Best of luck with everything.
Not at all.
Look after yourself. Bye-bye. Right, back tomorrow morning. Good news, isn't it? Back tomorrow morning at 9. Have a wonderful day, everybody.